Hello, I'm Justin from TED Learning, and welcome to this podcast on conflict. I'm delighted to be joined by Paul Hargreaves, who is a leadership and management expert and specialises in conflict management. So, Paul, thank you for joining us on this podcast today.
My pleasure.
Tell us, what are the most common causes of conflict in the workplace?
I think from my experience, the most common causes are the lack of understanding of other people's points of view. And I think that comes down to motivation. What is motivating the other person coming from that point of view? What is behind their feelings? What is behind their challenge? And Patrick Lencioni talks about conflict in a constructive way, that if we've got trust, we can have constructive conflict. But it's when we don't have trust that we can get that conflict can get a little bit destructive. So we need to develop trust and understanding of where people are coming from in terms of their motivation, which causes them to maybe disagree or challenge some of the decisions other people have made.
So how do people manage their emotions though? Because obviously if sometimes we're not going to anticipate that conflict is going to happen because we don't know how that other person's going to react. How would you recommend that if someone's going into what they anticipate being quite a difficult situation, how might they manage their emotions and their reaction if they're on the receiving end of somebody getting quite heated?
Understanding yourself, so being aware of yourself in terms of your own emotional intelligence and thinking of some of the things that may trigger you so that you can manage those emotions, but also understanding, again, where they are coming from and what kind of emotions they might be demonstrating in terms of putting their thoughts across. Also, I think being empathetic. Putting yourself in that person's shoes, thinking about it from their point of view will help you to manage your emotions because you will develop a better understanding of where they are coming from. But also understanding that when we are emotive, we are running on our head, not on our, on our heart, not on our head. So it tends to make us less objective. So we need to come back to that objectivity and logic to help us see it from an adult point of view.
And what sort of key strategies could people have in place for resolving conflict in a sort of peaceful way and in a constructive way?
The ability to listen, I think. The ability to take the emotion out of it. The ability to question from an objective point of view, the space to reflect and think and to explore and to remain curious. I think, why are people coming from that point of view? What's driving them? So curiosity, which is a thing that we talk about a lot about in coaching. But if we can remain curious and remain open and question and listen, we're going to get a better perspective of what is driving this conflict and how to resolve it.
So in your experience, are lots of people not do that? They kind of go at it from their perspective and they get a reaction that they weren't expecting, and that's where the kind of loggerhead starts to happen and conflict arises.
Yes, I believe so. I think people sometimes are entrenched in their own thoughts and behaviours and think that, that is right. And also culture can play a part in that, in terms of what is the culture of the business, what's the culture of the team. So I think those kind of behaviors can escalate conflict. But if we, the more we remain open, the more we listen, the more we seek to understand, we will then develop strategies to avoid conflict and have constructive conflict, because conflict isn't bad. Conflict is good. Conflict is diverse because we come from different points of view. So it's exploring that and finding out the best solutions.
And are there any models out there that you can suggest that people might want to look at to help them understand conflict and their own emotional reactions?
A model I tend to use, which is a coaching model, is called perceptual positions. And there's two versions of this. There's either three positions or four positions. And what it enables people to do is to look at it from their position, which is position number one, Position number two is the person that you're maybe having conflict with. And if you're thinking of a team kind of context here, so you go and sit. You can do this with chairs. You go and sit in the person's chair and think about it from their point of view. So it develops empathy and develops understanding. Position number three could be the team leader or the line manager of this particular team. So you look at it from their point of view. So you go a little bit more holistic, a little bit more umbrella helicopter kind of view. And then you could look at it from position number four, which is the business as a whole. What is the impact of this conflict, of this poor relationship having on the business as a whole? And it helps us to think logically from one point of view, one position. And it cuts, because we're thinking logically from that position, it cuts out the emotion. So I think it's a fab model, and I use it a lot in coaching.
And conflict doesn't just arise face to face, does it, in the room? So obviously we communicate in many different ways now, whether that's Teams, Zoom, email, text. And very often those sorts of messages can be misconstrued, and people can be quite reactive, and conflict can arise when actually neither party had intent. What's your advice in sort of verbal situations, non-face-to-face, as to how people might manage those types of conflict situations?
I mean, email is a great one, isn't it? People react to email because you haven't got the tone, you've only got the words. You can't see somebody's body language. You can't see what they are thinking or feeling at the time they're putting it together. So I think one has to step back and not react straight away. On Zoom, on Teams, people who put their camera off, you have to sort of ask why they're putting their camera off. Is it a problem with the internet? Is it that bandwidth? So we have to ask the question. I don't think we should jump to conclusions in terms of people's comms when they're not face to face, when we don't have the full picture, when we're on Zoom or in email, that we just gently check, summarize our understanding of what that message meant, summarize where people are coming from. So explain to me a little bit more about why you haven't got your camera on, because if you did have your camera on, I'd be able to see you, and I would engage with you a little bit better. So kind of talk about the benefits of doing things differently in those kind of comms, for the benefits for both yourself and for the other person and for anybody else on the call, if it is a Zoom, if it is a meeting, so that we get a better understanding of where people are coming from. It's about being transparent, I think, and challenging in a constructive, non-threatening way.
And what about for those of us that manage other people? So sometimes within teams there will be conflict. People might not get on, they might have frustrations with each other. If somebody who's a manager, a team leader, is listening to this, what sort of advice can you give to them as to how they might manage conflict that's happening within their team? You mentioned earlier that, you know, conflict can be good. What if it's not? What sort of advice would you give them?
I think, again, it's getting to the root cause of that conflict. So it's having those conversations whereby we are finding out what is driving that, whether that's personality, whether it's difference of communication style, for example, because we're all individual in the way that we communicate. Somebody who likes to look at the big picture, it may be irritated by somebody who's just going to get their heads down into detail. So in terms of understanding your team, it's understanding everybody in your team, what makes them tick in terms of their comm style, what makes them tick in terms of what motivates them. And then it's managing that, but also maybe sharing that with other team members, you know, maybe doing some kind of psychometric so everybody knows what their preferences are in terms of personality or behavior. And developing much more of an understanding of each other and what triggers other people. And the more we can develop that understanding, the more we can build relationships, and then the more we can build trust. And if we've got the trust, we can have constructive conflict.
I think that's a really good point you make about understanding people's different personality and communication preferences, isn't it? Because very often, if people don't understand what's driving how someone communicates and what their preferences are, what they receive might be quite different from what the person's intending. And I know from working relationships that I've had that sometimes I tend to be very sort of yellow, loads of ideas, quite high energy in terms of throwing stuff out there. And the people that are sometimes on the receiving end of that can get quite overwhelmed. So I see a frustrated face and an upset, which has in the past caused conflict. So getting that understanding of what drives us as individuals and having that understanding and empathy, as you mentioned earlier, is going to be a massive help at reducing conflict. But obviously, if it arises, you've given some good tips and how to manage that.
Absolutely. Totally agree. And I'm quite the opposite to you, I suppose, because I'm quite detailed. So I come back to the detail all the time. So I might be the person in the meeting who's reflecting on what somebody has said, and I slow the meeting down because I just want to get more clarity of what has been said in terms of detail. And so the person with all the ideas is going to get frustrated with me because I've just gone back a paragraph. But it's understanding what that diversity of behavior brings to the overall picture of the team and the productivity of the team, because everybody's got an equal place in it. And that having that diversity is fantastic. And it's recognizing that and celebrating that and playing to its strengths. It's just that awareness. And then team leaders, line managers can manage their teams because they know what they've got in there and they know what floats people's boats, and they can work with the strengths of those people to help manage that diversity of thought in the team.
And what about if conflict gets to the extreme of being physical? So if you can see that someone's getting, you know, really quite angry about it, is the advice just to walk away to, diffuse the situation?
No, I'd reflect back what I see in here. I would not call somebody out on it. I suppose I would say, well, look, I can see, Justin, that you feel really frustrated by that. You're fidgety. You're physically kind of anxious. Your movement is such. Your voice is at such a pitch. So tell me more about that. So I would throw it back at them. I'd reflect what I see. I'd reflect what I hear, and I would keep talking, because if we ignore it, it will just explode at some point. So I would obviously, if it was in an office kind of situation, take them somewhere quiet, but I would just keep repeating back what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing, and dig and delve to root cause to find out what's driving that.
Now, throughout your career, particularly, of recent times as a trainer, you've often used drama to help bring conflict training to life. How do you use it, and what do you think is the benefit of that approach?
Drama is so, so powerful in reflecting back situations that people find challenging. So they will see a piece of drama which is about conflict, and they can immediately identify with characters in it. So it gives them the objectivity to look at something from a logical point of view because they're not involved in it, and think more objectively about how to resolve that. So we can develop, using drama-based learning, we can develop our skills and our techniques to manage those situations in a very safe environment. I mean, we can look at the nuances of language, like when somebody says calm down. We all know that that actually doesn't work. It makes people more angry. So we can practice these skills in the safety of a training room. But also we can be empathetic at the same time for the person who's having that conflict. So I think drama-based learning in terms of conflict management is fantastic, because it allows people to practice, it allows people to make mistakes, it allows people to correct those mistakes, and it allows people to look at the the detail of language, behavior, and the skill in terms of those basic communication skills, listening and questioning.
And quite recently, we've been doing some work with a lot of global clients who have teams that are based all over the world. And one of the challenges that they've presented to us is that they've seen conflict within teams where there's a cultural difference. So they've had some parts of the world where people, generally speaking, tend to be more direct in their expectations. And they've also had others where they're more passive in how they respond. Have you seen that? And what advice would you give if there are those sort of cultural challenges as to how those organisations might manage conflict?
When I have seen it, I have tried to develop my understanding of those cultures prior to meeting with them. So part of my prep for working with and across global organisations is to research what that culture is like, and also sometimes preempt how that might land on other people. So we might want to brief other people about some of the effects of that directness or passiveness, and just make people aware of it, that it's not a personal thing, it is a cultural thing.
Brilliant. Paul, thank you so much for your time today and for talking us through some of the tips and techniques as to how individuals and organisations can manage conflict in the workplace. We really appreciate your time. For more of our podcasts, visit our website at podcast.tedlearning.co.uk, or you can find us on most podcast platforms.